Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, and this 15-minute of empowerment. This segment is meant to build up the believer, to encourage you as you go through daily situations, knowing that you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as you go to the place where he's called you to go, the purpose that he's called you for and that he's placed you in, preordaining you before the foundations of the earth. And as you go through this process, you know that you're going to need encouragement. You're going to need to know to be encouraged yourself. And you're also going to be able to understand that you're headed somewhere, that God is just not picking on you, but the place that you're going is making you, he's allowing you to be divinely made, divinely shaped, divinely imparted. And as you do, other lives are being touched. Other lives are going to be saved and encouraged by you. And it is an awesome thing because God gets the glory out of you. And the word of God lets us know that the glory of the Lord be filled in the earth. We're part of the glory of the Lord. So every time we allow God to use us and we do it with obedient faith and we continue to allow him to be seen in us, he gets glory. His glory is seen in the earth. This week, we're going to be talking about purpose and the process of purpose. And we're going to look at purpose from the aspect of Jesus, ourselves, and then God, so that we can understand that we were created and born with a purpose, that God just didn't create us, and we're just trying to figure out what our purpose is as we stumble along. No, God created us with a purpose, and the purpose that God created us with was never meant to try to destroy us or destroy the will of God. In other words, when God created us with a purpose, he never created us so that the thing that he called us to put inside of us would destroy us to the point that we would not be fit for the kingdom. He wants us to be fit for the kingdom. He wants us to be fit for his purpose and his plan. And he knows us so well, the hairs on our head, he knows us so well that he knows exactly what purpose to give us, what we can take, what we can go through, how to get out of us the purpose of what he placed inside of us, but also how to make us in the process that we grow, that we mature, that we enlarge ourselves, that we're not at a standstill, but it is always our choice. It is always our choice. God's purpose for our lives placed inside of us before the foundations of the earth. He ordained us with a purpose. He called us with a purpose, and it's purpose that is given by him. Purpose is always going to challenge you. Your purpose is going to make you. Your purpose is going to shape you. Your purpose is going to grow you and mature you. And true purpose, true godly purpose, will always be fought by the enemy, by people, and by circumstances. So you ought to know that if you're walking in purpose now and you know you're walking in what God has told you, you're going to be challenged in many different facets concerning your purpose. But you've got to know that God called you into that purpose. And if he called you to that purpose, if he called and placed that purpose inside of you, then you've been given everything you need to fulfill the purpose of God, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of circumstances. You can fulfill what God has called you to. The process of purpose is what stretches you. We're going through a process, getting to the place where the fulfillment of purpose is going to be seen in us. Even if we're walking in purpose as it is in ministry or in something else that God has given you, you're still not at the full fulfillment of that thing. You're still growing in that purpose. That purpose is still being enlarged in you. So you go through the process of being stretched so that purpose can be seen to the fullest extent of what God has designed you for and purposed you for, that the glory and all of what he wants to see in you is evident, that it shows up and that it bears much fruit so that other people can live by it, other people will be blessed by it, other people will know that God has called you to it and that God is with you. God never intended that we die in the midst of our purpose. And what I mean by that is that you die, that the purpose is so, you give up on the purpose and you die never fulfilling it. That was never his intent. That was never his intent. And you can choose not to fulfill purpose. You can choose not to do it. And that will be like what the children of Israel did. They did not, the first generation did not walk in and possess what God wanted them to. They stopped the process because they wanted to complain and they wanted to grumble and they wanted to go back to a familiar place and they did not want to be changed. They didn't want their heart to be changed, their mind to be changed, their spirit to be changed, to embrace the purpose that God had for them and to enjoy the fruits of what he desired to give them. And you have to choose to do it God's way, because if God called you to it, regardless of how hard it is or how difficult it may seem or how much you don't like it, if he called you to it and you want to please the Lord, then you're going to walk in that purpose, trusting that he knows what he's doing in your life. He knows the way that you take. He knows exactly how to get the glory out of your life. And I said, and I mentioned it earlier, we're going to look at purpose from the aspect of Jesus Christ, from the Christian, and from God. We're going to look at the purpose of Christ quickly today, because Christ's purpose was to bring the good news, to bring life and deliver it. That was his purpose, and to be the witness of truth. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ, to bring the good news, to bring life and deliverance, and to witness, be the witness of truth. We understand that he had to die, but he ultimately, these are the things that he the purpose was inside of him that God wanted to be displayed in the earth. And so we're going to look at that just briefly. When we look at his purpose in John 10, because this talks about him, John 10 talks about his purpose, and it talks about his purpose as a mandate. And sometimes purpose is a mandate. It is a commission. It is something that you have the authority by heaven, by God, to do, that God has created you just for that. Christ was created. He was given for the purpose of giving us life, to giving us deliverance, giving us hope, giving us salvation, being a witness of truth. He was created for that. God allowed him to come for that, and he had the authority of God, the approval of God, the endorsement of God, the instructions of God, the decree and the command of God, the order and the charge of God, the ordinance of God, the injunction of God. He had all of those things backing him in power with the Holy Spirit. And God gives us the same authority when we begin to walk in purpose. Our purpose is backed by him. We are his ambassadors, and we do as Christ would in the earth, and heaven backs us. So when we say that we are purposed for God's glory and we understand that purpose, then we have the backing of heaven. We're not out here on our own. We're not doing this in our own strength and power. We're doing this with the backing of heaven. We are doing this in the name of Jesus. We're doing this as Christ has already done it. He's gone before us with a shout. He's given us the example to live by, the example to follow of how to obey even in a hard place. And we follow his example, knowing that his purpose was fulfilled and it's being fulfilled in us. So we have that example. In John 10, we see that there's a mandate for Christ. He came to give life because he was a good shepherd. The Bible lets us know this. In 1 Peter 5 and 4, we see that Christ is the chief shepherd. In John 10, we see him as the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13 and 20, we see him as the great shepherd. And so we see him in all of this as a shepherd, but God gives emphasis to who he is and how his shepherd ability and life is impacted. And so we understand that God bestowed a mandate on Jesus Christ, a divine mandate to give life. So we see that he's a good shepherd that gives life. So that was one of the things that he was purposed to do. Christ also was purposed to give and bring good news, the gospel, and deliverance. Because he was purposed to do that, we see that in Luke 4 and 18. We also see that in John 18 and 37 that he was the witness. Now, when we see him in Luke 4 and 18, as he was in John chapter 10, we see that when he was in John chapter 10, it talks about him being the good shepherd. It talks about him bringing life. And he was purposed to be the good shepherd and to bring life. We could not receive this eternal life unless we receive it through Jesus Christ. So he was purposed to bring us the life through salvation, through his death, burial, resurrection, that life through salvation that we need, life more abundantly here, but eternal life. He wanted us to live in such a way that we represented him So we seek him in Luke 4 and 18. We seek him as the royal figure of God in the earth, but we also see him with a prophetic mission. We see him prophetically proclaiming something. And it tells us this when we look at that scripture in Luke 4 and 18. It says he came to heal the brokenhearted, those who were discouraged because of their life's plot. That's what he came to do. He came to bring liberty to the captive, those who were held by sin. And in those days, in the biblical time, it was the exiles of the Israelites, but it also represents those who were held in sin, held by the captivity, the bondage of sin. He came to proclaim liberty, and when we understand he sets us free from that, Jesus also gives sight to the blind. This sight is miraculous sight because it gives us spiritual eyes and natural eyes to now see what we could not see, obtain what we could not obtain before, because our eyes have been opened to the things of the Spirit. Jesus sets at liberty those who are oppressed, and this is a physical and a spiritual reality of the condition of humanity, where they were in their natural lives and in the spirit realm. He came to set them free, give them liberty from the things that have them bound. Jesus proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord, and this is a spiritual and natural jubilee. In that time, that jubilee meant every 500 years that debts were forgiven, slaves were given their freedom, ancestral property was given back to its original family, and the year of jubilee allowed a new start, where Christ gives us a spiritual jubilee, a complete and total jubilee, because he totally cancels our spiritual debt, and he gives us a brand new beginning, and he gives it to those who would hear and respond and obey to the message of the good news. He gives us a jubilee, and that jubilee takes us in every area of our life, giving back to the things that we may have lost, our ancestors may have lost. We've lost some stuff in the spirit and in the natural, and God will restore those things. He allows us to now have a brand new start at any place where we've been enslaved. He commands that slavery, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, spiritually, even in our memories, he commands that enslavement, if it's habits, he commands it to be destroyed and broken, because he's come to set us free. He's come to give us that liberty, and he gives us back what we could not get for ourselves. In John 18 and 37, we see here that Jesus is talking about his kingdom, and he lets us know that he is not of this world, but he is a king, and he comes to bear witness to the truth, but he lets them understand that this truth was sealed in God. It was sealed in God. It was the mystery of what he was going to do by bringing not only the Jews but the Gentiles together, and he was going to give us an inheritance, and we were all going to have a full inheritance in Christ Jesus in unity together through the blood of Jesus Christ, a new life in him, an eternal life in him, and he lets us see that. And those who receive the message of Jesus Christ, they receive that blessing. They receive that truth. So we see the purpose of Jesus was to do all of these things. And even though his purpose meant that he had certain on in the earth, certain things in life, certain things when he died and went into hell, it did not stop the purpose from being fulfilled. He still fulfilled purpose. He still had to do purpose. He still had to allow the will of God to be done. He was preordained for that. You have been preordained for the will of God. Just as Christ, and we see his purpose evident in the gospel, in his teachings, in the word, then we understand that just like him, our purpose is going to be fulfilled. And even though we go through some things, because the Spirit of God is in us and we have his character, his spirit, he now empowers us to go through it the right way. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life today, the process of there. I pray that this purpose 15-minute empowerment segment has been encouraging to you and let you know that even as Jesus had purpose, we have a purpose. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the believer's purpose, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to embrace that and understand it even greater, so that when we walk through our purpose and the process of our purpose, we will not grumble, we will not complain, but we will gladly glorify God, knowing that he knows the way that we take, and when he's finished with us, we're going to come forth as pure gold. Have a blessed and wonderful day. in this 15-minute empowerment, I command and speak life and encouragement to you. Be blessed, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same time.